Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
Powered by you.
Listener supported.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, May 8th. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning as we begin our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Relevant Radio truly is a spiritual family made up of each and every one of you that is up and at 'em listening this morning. All week long, we're going to be asking you to support our mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media. This is a big week for us here at Relevant Radio. It's kind of like the playoffs, if I may use a sports metaphor, here in this month of Mary, culminating with the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima on Saturday, and of course, Mother's Day on Sunday. Time and time again, our Relevant Radio family has been amazing. You guys have been amazing. You always support the mission in a big time way. We need your help once again just to keep going for the next 3 months. Our goal is $3 million. Now, the co-patron of Relevant Radio, Pope St. John Paul II, once said, "It is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others," and that's exactly what we try to do every single day here on Relevant Radio. We always start every hour during our Pledge Drive week with the powerful Memorare prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us not only with this pledge drive, but also for an end to abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as always, I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Happy day one of our Spring Pledge Drive. How are you guys doing?
Happy day one indeed. Doing well. Going to have many opportunities for folks to give. They can do that right now. We'll be talking about that a lot through the course of the day and of course of the week as well. But still regular programming for the first 4 days anyway here on the Pledge Drive. So taking a look at some of the things that happened over the weekend. One of the big things in the Relevant Radio world certainly was the Walk to Mary. Sarah, you were there.
I was there. Yes, they had the big 10th anniversary celebration. It was a great dinner. 900 of our fellow listeners and friends were there, so that was cool. I got to meet some of the listeners, and everyone enjoyed the spaghetti dinner. The meatballs ran out, so I hope you were one of the listeners that came. I hope you got one of those before they rolled right off the dinner platters and into the bellies there. But it was wonderful. It was a great time. And the walk the next day, 5,000 people were there walking. And me and my family, we only did 7 miles, but it was good.
There's a fresh amount
of people to see. I mean, there was bathroom breaks and water. They were very well organized. They know what they're doing. It was great.
Seven out of the 21 miles for the children. That's pretty good there, Sarah.
Well, I had the two older ones, not the little ones. So I was like, you guys can do it. We can do it. So it was a little bit chilly, but it was good. They got their little legs moving, and we had a good time, I think. So it was good. We look forward to trying to go in again next year.
I was hanging out near the finish line a previous year. Here's what that sounded like.
What motivates you to get walking?
I want to see Our Lady of Good Help, and I'm going to use it as a prayer.
Any secrets to success?
Good socks.
What's the key in footwear?
I wear sandals so that my toes don't hurt, and I also wear two layers of socks. I wear a sock liner, and then I wear wool socks over, and that way they rub against each other instead of against my heel, and I never get a blister.
What's that happy noise your toes make?
Whee! I'm
Have you done this before?
I have. I've done it four times.
What motivates you?
Pat, our legally blind friend who walks, motivates me. But also every mile I pray for a family member. And I have a big family, so the miles go really fast. And I usually run out of miles before I've prayed for everybody.
So you walk with somebody who's legally blind?
Yes, her name is Pat, and she's an amazing woman who has inspired me to walk, and she grew up in the area of the Shrine, and so for her, it's always been a very special thing, and she's been my motivation.
Hey, we've got a first-time walker. What are you looking forward to today?
I am looking forward to seeing all the excited walkers and just being part of the crowd.
Have you got any tips on the best way to do it and keep happy feet?
Definitely wear comfy shoes and dress for the weather.
How about you? This is your first time as well?
Yeah, this is going to be my first time, so I'm very excited about what to expect.
What's motivating you to do it?
Well, honestly, I love the spiritual aspect of it. I love that this isn't just a walk. It's a pilgrimage, right? Like we're basically walking in solidarity with other like-minded Catholics who love Our Lady and love our Blessed Mother. So that's what I'm most excited about.
We have some hearty Minnesotans with us doing the walk to Mary today. What's your name?
My name is Jeannie Sharp. I'm a teacher at Notre Dame Academy in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
And you brought a whole bunch of kids over today.
It's true. We have 25 kids and 12 adults, including our priest, Father John, came with us. And the kids are super excited to be part of the walk for Mary.
What motivated you to be part of this?
It all started about 5 years ago when a young man named Dominic in seventh grade was learning about the Marian apparition sites. And when I told him there was one in Wisconsin, he raised his hand and said, "Can we go, Miss Sharp?"
Well, there you go. Some of the thoughts of folks in the previous year when they were getting ready to go and made it through and traveling, making their way. And we've had people come to this event from around the country.
Oh, geez. We saw some people from Kansas, several people from Texas. One man in particular said he drove all the way from Brownsville, Texas, up to the Walk to Mary. So, yeah, there's been people from all over, some people from California that flew in. And you know what? Hey, I wish I would have heard that way before I did it. I wanted those sock tips. I needed to know that. I did not. I did bring some moleskin for the back of my heels, so they did remain intact. But, hey, I wish I would have known those tips. Come on. You were holding out, Glenn.
And on this 10th anniversary, Walk to Mary, the name of Our Lady of Good Help has been changed to Our Lady of Champion. And she really is our champion. She's our mother. She's rooting for us. And she's going to be with us this entire week.
Hopefully, right? Come on, Mary, Our Lady of Champion, be with us.
I got to tell you, I wasn't able to make it to the walk, but I was a baseball dad this weekend, as so many weekends. I did make a pit stop at the beautiful Shrine of National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown, same place where I asked my wife to marry me 18 years ago. In fact, we're going to be celebrating our anniversary coming up this Sunday on Mother's Day. So it'll be a big, big week, big weekend.
Yeah, happy anniversary in advance, so that'll be good. But it was a big weekend for more than just you, John. Last weekend, this one we just passed. Glenn, what happened?
Well, kind of a big weekend in the UK. That's right, the official coronation of King Charles III. Now, of course, he's been king since the passing of his mother a while back, but all the pomp and circumstance that could be put together in England was done in London on Saturday. And John, you were up to see some of that live.
I actually got up and watched a lot of it. I didn't watch the very, very beginning of the broadcast, but did watch just in time for King Charles to get a crown. It was very beautiful. It was very moving. And like we talked about on Friday, you know, I was moved by how Catholic it was. You could see so much of our Catholic faith. This is an ancient tradition that goes back 1,000 years. And so to see King Charles and Queen Camilla crowned, it was quite a moment, even though I was watching it on TV. And yesterday, the party continued in Britain. Apparently, they had a big concert and they had picnics and even a dog was wearing a crown, I read. So everybody was in on the action. Everybody, getting into the spirit of the crowning, although there were a few people who were actually opposed to it, but there was a very small minority.
Yeah, fancy. And boy, the amount of gold on that carriage, very impressive there for those impressed by gold. But a lot of shiny stuff over the weekend there, celebrating the transition of kind of power in name, at least, if not reality, there in Britain.
Absolutely. All right. Well, as always, we have a lot more to chat about this morning, but we need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Father John Gordon, the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, will join us to talk about the importance of vocations and planting seeds of faith. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after a word from Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Relevant Radio. Welcome to our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. This is a reminder that Relevant Radio is listener-supported. That's you. So we're unable to bring you the Patrick Madrid Show or the Drew Mariani Show or even the Family Rosary Across America without your financial support. We do need your help. Today only, for a gift of $20 a month, our special thank you gift is a Relevant Radio Divine Mercy Carrier. This velvet pouch is printed with the Divine Mercy image with a quote from St. Faustina's diary on the back. You can hang it on a bedpost or a doorknob, and it can hold your book of prayers or a similar-sized small book. Take a look for yourself at relevantradio.com or on the app. It's only available today, and it's yours for a gift of $20 a month to Relevant Radio. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour, so give online now on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. Ow.
Ow. Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air as we continue with day one of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you here on this Monday morning. On social media, you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Of course, you can always send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or story ideas, morningair@relevantradio.com. And the number, if you want to be part of the show this morning, it's 888-914-9149. Now, just a week ago Sunday, we celebrated the World Day of Prayers for Vocations, and it reminded me of the importance of vocations. We're talking about vocations to the priesthood, religious or a consecrated life in our Catholic Church. The future of the Church depends on vocations, and here on Relevant Radio, we are constantly planting those seeds. Joining us live is our spiritual director this morning, Father John Gordon, with much more on vocations. Father Gordon is the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. Good morning, Father Gordon. Happy Easter, we can continue to say. Thanks so much for joining us here on this day one of our pledge drive on this Monday. You are our leadoff hitter.
Well, I'm so honored, John. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is truly risen. Alleluia. In this Easter season, especially, but especially to be able to support Relevant Radio in this pledge drive week, because I realized that in the context of vocations, for example, as you hinted at, it's all about creating an environment in which we can hear the Lord speak to us about our lives and about what His desire for us is. And one of the things that Relevant Radio does so very well, it helps create that environment within my own heart. In other words, whether I'm in the car or whatever else I'm doing, whenever I'm listening to Relevant Radio, I realize that something is happening inside me that is more oriented me towards the Lord. Because whatever I feed in myself is going to grow stronger. So if I feed garbage and the world, the flesh, the devil, if I feed myself with all those things that draw me away from the Lord, into myself, into my fears and anxieties, that will grow strong. But if I feed God's grace in me, the ability to listen to God, the desire to do His will, the longing for justice and peace and charity, then indeed that grows stronger in me. And Relevant Radio is a wonderful tool. No matter where I am, no matter what situation I am, if I have the ability to either listen to it directly or catch it online in the app, I'm able to reintroduce that environment of grace within my heart.
And you just never know, Father Gordon, who might be listening, somebody who might be already receiving a tug by the Holy Spirit on their heart, and they hear something on Relevant Radio that reinforces that reality for them.
Yes, I believe that when we hear people talk about God, the things of God in their own lives in a way that is encouraging and exciting, I think it stirs up something that says, I think I want that. When you see, I remember as a boy, watching the priest celebrate Mass, and I don't think I realized at the time how awesome that was to see this man up there do these sacred actions, say these sacred words, and to have a whole church full of people listen to him, have us talk about what he said on the drive home. Those little things help to foster a culture in my own life that says, this is an acceptable way of life. This is a good thing to do. This is an honorable thing to do. And then after an experience of conversion in my heart, I think that's key, because it's not a human activity. It's a vocation, which is a call from the Lord, but it involves the conversion, discernment, but the human pieces around that all help to foster that ability to be present to that conversion, listen to the Lord in that discernment, and be able to give myself to the Lord in a fresh new way.
Well, Father Gordon, I think right now at this point in our church's history, vocations is so important. Can you talk about the importance of vocations to our Catholic church in this day and age?
Yes, I think one of the things about religious life, priesthood and religious life in the Catholic Church, is that it is a total commitment. The commitment of celibacy, or poverty, chastity, and obedience, says that we have people, good, healthy, strong people, men and women who are willing to give their whole lives to God. And we live in a culture that minimizes God, marginalizes him, considers him to be of little or no account. And to have people giving everything for the Lord God is a very countercultural move. And it sends a strong signal to anybody else who's watching or listening, something else is going on here than what the world is offering. Because the world, according to the world standards, this kind of total commitment makes no sense. The job that we do, whether it be religious job or if healthcare or teaching or whatever the job that one is doing in the priesthood or religious life, that can have its own place. But the total gift of the self that is priesthood and religious life, that is something completely different. And that's what the vocation is. The vocation isn't just to the work that is being done, but that total gift of self. And when we've been grasped by the Lord, the desire to give ourselves fully to him grows stronger and stronger. And our physical, visible witness by religious habit or clerical collar or any other way in which I'm clearly marked by how I live my life, that the whole life is dedicated to God, that is unique. And we only find that, to be perfectly honest, John, we only find that, as I see, in the Catholic Church. Every other church that has ministers and people serving, which is great and wonderful, thanks be to God, it's also part of a job in their life. They might be married, they might have other things they have to do, et cetera, and I understand that. But the Catholic tradition of giving oneself completely to God in religious life or the priesthood, that is a very unique witness and very powerful countercultural call in our lives. And we need it because that's what we're made for. We're made to give our lives to God. And so for some of us, it's completely and totally. Others, it's at least first. For everybody, God has to be first. For some of us, God has to be completely all. And when someone is grasped by that, then the ability to live for God first becomes a greater possibility for everybody else as well.
Father Gordon, Pope St. John Paul II, of course, promoted the new evangelization. And with that, many priestly vocations came out of it. Can you talk about some of these JP2 priests, the fruits of which we see today?
I think one of the things that Pope St. John Paul II was able to do was to call forth a vision of priesthood in particular that was strong, that was manly, that was powerful, and that was able to withstand all the onslaughts that the world, the flesh, and the devil could assault. So even in a time of tremendous challenge of the priesthood, the clergy sex abuse scandal, for example, vocations were still on the rise, because with John Paul II, He spoke to young people in a way that was building them up. He encouraged them to do something generous with their lives. And he witnessed by his own life and by his words the great gift, the generosity gift of priesthood in particular, that for many, many men, it was very attractive. We want to do something that's worth giving our lives for. We want to do something that's worth spending everything for. Anything less than that is not worthy of us as men. And so the priesthood, especially as John Paul II presented it, presented that possibility.
Just about out of time here this morning. Just a quick thought on the importance of the Holy Spirit in discerning one's vocation.
The Holy Spirit makes Jesus alive in us ever since the Annunciation. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the new covenant of grace. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us hear Jesus Christ call us to say, "Will you be my priest?"
Father Gordon, as always, I so much appreciate your spiritual direction and your encouragement for vocations in our church. Thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you. God bless you, Relevant Radio.
Many blessings to you. Father John Gordon, the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, licensed marriage and family therapist Doug Hinder will join us to talk about the wedding season, how to prepare for a Catholic wedding and a lifetime of marriage. Stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. It's great to be with you here on this Monday morning as we are just starting here on this day one, opening day of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 2:5. The beloved disciple St. John writes, "His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Our Blessed Mother Mary's mission is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. She always points us to her Son, Jesus the Lord. Mary said to the servants at the wedding feast of Cana, "Do whatever he tells you." That is, do whatever Jesus is telling you to do. During this month of Mary, let's remember that it's all about following Christ and following Jesus from the heart every day of our life. We always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Hey, it's wedding season. It's officially started with all this beautiful weather that we've been seeing in many parts of the country. In fact, Drew Mariani's producer Maggie just got married to Joe this past Saturday, and they're on their way to Rome for their honeymoon. Many blessings to those two. I wish them nothing but the best. Are you getting married this year by any chance, or do you have a loved one or a relative that is getting married? Joining us live is licensed marriage and family therapist Doug Hinder to talk about how to prepare for a Catholic wedding and how the big day is just ground zero for a lifetime of marriage. Doug's passion is working with couples to help them live the married life that God intended from the beginning. He's been married for 42 plus years to his incredible wife, Shirley. They have 9 children and 6 grandchildren, and you can find Doug at happymarriageforlife.com. Good morning, Doug. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you here on day one of our Pledge Drive.
I love it. Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy our conversations a great deal.
For sure. You know, before we talk about the wedding season, you've been a contributor now for some time here on Relevant Radio. You've seen a lot of the fruits of what Relevant Radio can do. Why do you think it is so important for our listeners to continue to support the mission of Relevant Radio, of bringing Christ to the world through the media?
Well, because, you know, the job that Relevant Radio does is indispensable, right? And, we talk a lot about, I'm going to talk about formation for marriage, right? Teaching people what marriage is all about. And it's same in our faith. And Relevant Radio helps teach us our faith. And so many people are so poorly formed in their faith. And that's the great gift of Relevant Radio is I know I got a place I can go to get the true story, the straight story, exactly what our faith is and what it teaches. And that is indispensable in our culture and our society.
And part of teaching our faith is the teachings of the sacrament of matrimony, which has, you know, in so many ways been, you know, forgotten by a lot of folks in our country, obviously. And, you know, so we wanted to talk about it here in this month of May, the month of the Blessed Mother Mary. It's a beautiful month. In fact, Doug, full disclosure, I got married on May 14th. So we'll be celebrating 18 years coming up this Sunday, which... providentially, it's also Mother's Day.
Wow. Well done. That's great. Well, I'm sure you've got a very special day planned, John, for Sunday.
We do, and it's going to begin on the vigil the night before. So we already got some really good stuff all planned out. What about you? I know you've been married for a long time, four decades, 42 years. When did you first get married? What was that like?
So, you know, we got married right out of college. And, you know, there's something to be said for being a little naive and stupid going into it because, you know, didn't really know what we were getting into, I don't think. I mean, we had a fair idea, but, and I think, you know, I was on a podcast a while back and somebody asked me, what's the secret? How did you two stay married so long? And I think it boiled down to two things. A, commitment. Like, we took that commitment till death do us part really seriously. And so getting out of this marriage was not an option. But also, neither of us wanted to go through life miserable. So, you know, when problems showed up or we got on each other's nerves, we worked it out. We figured out what we were doing and we fixed the problems. And I think those are two really important things, this commitment and this desire to work through whatever issues come up.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk about here this morning is the things to keep in mind going into a wedding day. And obviously, a wedding day is a big day. It's a memorable day. You can only do it once if you have that desire to be committed for life. What are a few of the keys that couples should keep in mind?
Well, I think, you know, I guess this is a kind of a frustration of mine. And I think... marriage prep work should really start somewhere around age 5, I think, you know, and the parents can play an important role in helping to prepare their children for what marriage is all about. And I think that it's just so critical to go into marriage with a true understanding of what marriage really is and what it isn't. And our faith, our church, does a really good job of helping us with that. And I think I would encourage couples to spend time reading the catechism and what our catechism teaches us about what matrimony really is. Because, you know, the wedding day, it's all easy up until the wedding day, right? Because this is all, you know, this is the opposite of what, you know, the fairy tales tell you, that, you know, it's so hard to overcome the forces of evil that conspire to keep the couple apart, and then they get married, and then they live happily ever after. Well, it's just the opposite. You know, the engagement is the happy part. And then you get married, and then the hard work begins. And it doesn't take too long once you're married to discover that the person you married has a few defects and a few flaws. You know, and some of those things can make it difficult to live together and to be happy. And so this idea that the real work begins after we get home from the honeymoon is an important thing for couples to understand.
Well, Doug, I'll have you know that to this day, I still have the study booklet that was given to us during our marriage prep. And I always held on to it because I wrote notes in the back of it. And the one thing that really, really stands out that I'll never forget, marriage is simple. Your key to heaven is your spouse. It's my job is to get my wife, Cindy, to heaven. Her job is to get me to heaven. And I think that that's a really simple teaching that we can all take to heart.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think that, you know, the key, the underlying message there is that marriage is a spiritual endeavor. You know, it's not a worldly thing. The state of Illinois didn't invent marriage, or the United States of America, or the Greeks, or the Romans. God invented marriage. And if we keep him center in the equation, and heaven center in the equation, then it gets easier to handle our spouse's defects and those things that annoy us, because those are ways to grow in virtue. Those are ways to grow in holiness and to practice forgiveness and to develop the virtues of patience, et cetera. So even our spouse's defects can be a path for us to get to heaven.
Well, we need to take a short break. If you want to be part of the conversation on preparing for a Catholic wedding and how the wedding day is actually ground zero, we'd like to have you join us here in our conversation with licensed marriage and family therapist Doug Hinder. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149 if you want to chime in. We're going to take that time out and we'll continue our discussion with Doug. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side after this Relevant Radio Miracle Moment.
I wanna make you smile when you're feeling sad. I carry you around when you're arthritis is bad. Oh, all I wanna do.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning, day one of our spring pledge drive. If you want to be part of our conversation this morning, we've been talking about how to prepare for a Catholic wedding and a lifetime of marriage. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As we continue our discussion with Morning Air contributor Doug Hinder, licensed marriage and family therapist. Doug, how important is it to keep in mind that what we engage when we get married, it's holy matrimony. It is a sacrament. And, you know, to prepare for the sacrament, I wanted to ask your advice, some few little tips for people who actually want to have a beautiful Catholic wedding.
Yeah, I think that's good, John. Yes, thank you. And I think the most important advice I could give to any couple before they get married is make a good confession. Get into the confessional. Make sure that there's nothing going to get in the way of the Holy Spirit being able to impart all of that matrimonial grace on you when you receive that sacrament. And when I work with couples, I always suggest they get in and make a good confession before we start actually trying to work on the marriage. And it's amazing how many come back and say, we're not fighting at all anymore. We went to confession for the first time in 10 years or 20 years, and we haven't had a fight all week, you know, because we just have to be in a state of grace. It's a sacrament, and God wants us to be happily married, and he doesn't want anything to get in the way. And if there's something in the way, we need to get it cleaned up right away. I think that would be my number one piece of advice.
Assuming you've gone to confession, a couple can plan an absolutely beautiful, memorable wedding day, you know, with a beautiful liturgy, beautiful music, authentically Catholic, but they have to take the time to actually plan it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, yes, and plan a good, you know, a good and a holy mass and a wedding. I've had two kids married in the last 2 years, and they did wonderful jobs, and it was a very special occasion. And it was, you know, spiritually deep and spiritually profound. And I think, you know, that's why we get married in the church. That's why generally we have a mass with the marriage, because Christ has got to be the center. The Eucharist has got to be the center of our life together. And we start off our marriage now with prayer, right? With God in the center, and then continue that throughout the entire marriage with God in the center. So develop that habit early in the marriage to pray together. The rosary, of course, but even visiting, you know, our Eucharistic chapel, especially now that the bishops are encouraging us to do that as a couple. And so often, you know, when we're getting on each other's nerves and we just stop by and make a visit at a church, we come out and all of a sudden we're like, what were we fighting about? It wasn't all that important now that I have thought about it in the presence of our Lord. And so this deep spiritual life, a deep prayer life as a couple is a really, that's kind of the, that's the glue that holds the couple together when all the normal kind of stuff of life starts getting in the way and causing trouble.
Well, Doug, you know, the reason I brought up about having a beautiful wedding, I think, you know, if you go into it that you only do it once, you want it to be beautiful. You know, we were so blessed. Our wedding at St. Mary of the Angels in Chicago, which is a magnificent church, was in English, Spanish, and Latin with the Willows Choir. I mean, it was just like, it was like a made-for-television event. It was so beautiful. And so every year we go back and look at the video right before our anniversary to remind remind us of that special moment, especially the moment when Father Rocky, who was the celebrant that day, asked us, am I ready to give my vows to the two of us?
Yeah. I think, and so it's hard to find a prettier church than St. Mary of the Angels, and the Willows Choir is legendary. And I think, it's good that you go back and review that from time to time, right? Because life gets in the way, and so many, just life in general works to pull the couple apart, right? Just paying the bills, going to work, raising kids, mowing the lawn, doing laundry, and to at least once a year go back and kind of renew what that day was all about and the promise and the happiness it contained. I think it's a great way to re-energize the marriage. I think that's a wonderful thing, practice that you've got,
And I think it's also important to consider that, obviously the wedding day is ground zero. It is just the beginning. What can you say to newlywed couples so that they avoid a disappointment in the early going?
Yeah, well, I think, good marriage prep is obviously the thing, but once you're in it, is this idea that our love is sacrificial, right? And so I am putting your happiness, it's my life mission now to bring joy and happiness into your world. And if we both do that, if we both focus on pleasing the other person, it all works out really well. And so realize you're going to have troubles, you're going to have challenges. That's okay. That's normal. That doesn't mean you got a bad marriage. This is where virtue is acquired, is through the daily struggles of marital life. And so even the difficulties work to get us into heaven and work to sanctify us and help us grow in virtue. So don't worry about the challenges and just work through them. And it's all part of God's plan.
And it's a learning process. Probably the most important words is, I'm sorry.
And I forgive you. Those are the two. I'm sorry and I forgive you.
I love it. As always, I so much appreciate your insights. Thanks, as always, Doug. Really appreciate it.
Happy to be here, John. Take care. Good luck on the fundraising drive.
Thank you so much. For much more, you can visit happymarriageforlife.com. That has been Morning Air contributor Doug Hinder. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Think about this as we build through Relevant Radio. During our pledge drive, our story today called A Bigger Frying Pan. Two men went fishing. One man was an experienced fisherman, the other wasn't. Every time the experienced fisherman caught a big fish, he put it in his ice chest to keep it fresh. Whenever the inexperienced fisherman caught a big fish, he threw it back. The experienced fisherman watched this go on all day and finally got tired of seeing this man waste good fish. Why do you keep throwing back all the big fish that you catch? He asked. The inexperienced fisherman replied, I only have a small frying pan. Sometimes, like that fisherman, we throw back the big plans, big dreams, big jobs, big opportunities that God gives us. Our faith is too small. We laugh at that fisherman who didn't figure out that all he needed was a bigger frying pan. Yet how ready are we to increase the size of our faith? Whether it's a problem or a possibility, God will never give you anything bigger than you can handle. That means we can confidently walk into anything God brings our way. In Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest, will join us to talk about the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Plus, our resident Catholic apologist, William Albrecht, will be with us to discuss our Blessed Mother Mary and Islam. Is Mary the bridge for Muslims? So stay with us. There is much more to come as we continue with day one of our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive.